You guys like room temperature water guys, or are you like, I have to have my water like fresh from the glacier cold?
I'm a room temp guy.
I never heard of room temp before I moved to California. That's not even a thing in the Midwest. If you drink room temp, people would fucking
yeah, like, no, same thing.
Maybe to the hospital.
I had my buddy's dad growing up in Boston. He was a firefighter, and he was the first person I ever met that drank room temp water. Like, he would carry around a jug like I do, work out in the yard, have it next to him, be like hot to touch. He'd love it. He said he hated cold water.
I never even heard of it until I moved to California. Oh, my God. Room temp water makes you eat slower. Who gives a fuck? I want my water cold.
I want my water cold. Like just shy of hurting my teeth.
Yeah, I'm a... whatever.
No, I was just curious. I was just curious because I just had to sip my water, and it's so cold. It's so fucking good.
You know what I don't like anymore? Sparkling water. Over it.
I've never liked it.
Over
I've
it.
Only enough. Never liked it. I'd much rather just have flat, cold ice water than I would ever take a LaCroix or any AHA.
It just makes me
or
feel like thing. Bubbly. Like, it just makes me feel like I got a burp, I got a fart, I hate it.
It's like, yeah, if you're gonna fucking get wet, go swimming. Drink a beer.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fast stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio. We are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. And you're listening to the voice of a man who went 5-0 on King of the Coast last week and 6-1 overall, ready to roll that over into week 14. Dangles and Drew, Dangles, you've been hot as of late as well. Schaefer the Sharp, listen, you made fun of me for bringing up stats. You made fun of me for bringing up trends in your betting game, but my man, you have fallen from a tree. You are falling apart. And I have to say, before we give out your bets here, before you start going, and just know you're 5-15 when taking home teams. Okay, I just want to get that out of the way before you give out your bets. 5-15 with home teams.
Well, if you notice, Tony Squares, I think this fall has come from when you requested us to send our picks in early so you could do all your statistical analysis and put your square bullshit on my picks. So you know what? I'm done. I'm done doing that. I'm no longer giving you my picks. I didn't do it today. And watch me. Now I'm going to get hot because my downfall started when you requested picks early. So you can put all your square nonsense on them, run a bunch of meaningless statistics. I'm done. So now, fresh slate. We're good to go.
It's called pre-production, Drew. It's called pre-production. You give me your bets so I can bring stats for the audience. Now you're just making my job harder and you're worsening the show, including not turning your notifications off on your phone. Dangles.
Yes.
You're doing well, my friend. You're on the hot trend. You've won a couple of bets recently. You were second last week in King of the Coast. How are you feeling heading into this final stretch here?
Well, I'm certainly feeling good about teasers. I think I've hit four or five straight teasers in this later portion of the week. And, you know, maybe that's because we're now kind of getting later on in the season and the market isn't quite as soft as it was early on. And you know more about these teams now and you're kind of maybe getting some more accurate numbers based on some of what you're expecting out of these teams. But I feel good. I feel good. I did some good research today, despite being insanely busy. I think I pulled together some good stuff. So I like my bets for this week and I don't seem to be the only one who does. So I'm excited to share them with y'all.
Your schedule is going to get so much clearer when you have a child and sleep will be better and your wife will be happy. It's going to be awesome. So soak it all in right now, pal.
Dangles, you are six of your last seven teasers, to be exact, because those are the statistics Tony Squares provides. But speaking of schedules clearing up, the leading tackler in the NFL last season, Zach Cunningham, was cut today by the Houston Texans, told not to come back. He's now a free agent passing through the waiver system 1 year after signing a four-year, $58 million extension. And again, I repeat, the leading tackler in the NFL last year. Listen, he's going to pass through waivers. There's a chance a team like the Jets picks him up. So we're not going to talk about what team, what playoff team he could help, which is many. And also his contract in the next 4 years pays him $14, $15, and $17 million. It's a lot of money to take on. But if he passes through waivers, then he gets to sign a new deal. So we're not going to talk about the salary cap ramifications. Instead, I want to pick your two brains here because I can never understand that I understand that David Culley and the Houston organization didn't want Zach Cunningham in the building anymore. Clearly, he was not following protocol. He was not coming to meetings on time. He was not good in the locker room. I get trying to keep the team together and build something there. But what I don't understand is that these NFL teams forget that this is a business here. And today they let an asset walk away for free. They could have told him to not come back, put him some on non-injury designated list like teams do with malcontents all the time, and kept him for next year, because as soon as that trade window opens up, I guarantee you there's a team out there that would give you any type of a pick for a former second round pick entering the 27th year of his life and the fifth year of the league. I'll never understand the stupidity of the Houston Texans as they continue to bungle these choices over and over again. Do you guys have any thoughts on the stupidity of the Houston Texans, the only team right now eliminated from the playoffs this year?
Well, you did say, Tony, that, you know, nobody or someone would want to trade for him. And it sounds to me like, at least from what I've read, that teams or that the Texans did try to trade him in training camp and then again before the trade deadline, and they couldn't find anybody who wanted to trade for him. Now, that could be for a lot of different reasons. That could be because other teams knew what kind of a player he was. It could also be because they couldn't come to, you know, terms that both teams agreed upon. But, there are enough owners out there. You have to think they probably know what this guy is. And if this has been a problem that's been ongoing for some time, yes, it's a business, and in businesses, word gets around. Word gets around the league. These players know who these guys are. So to me, it sounds like they had explored that option anyway to try and get rid of him and trade him and maybe get something out of this. And it must have been it for them to take $5.5 million in dead money this year and 12.8 next year just to do this. I mean, I cannot come up with a reason why you would not have exhausted every single other option for somebody who, again, you mentioned a second round pick.
Now, this was a guy that this extension was signed by the past general manager in Houston. It wasn't Jack Easterby's signing that he is now cutting, but it is Jack Easterby's decision to cut this man. Drew, you have any thoughts on the terrible Houston Texans?
I think it's just another reminder, guys, that all these NFL contracts we see in the offseason, they're all just kind of bullshit. Yeah. I mean, they're just dumb. 4 for $50 or whatever. And I know Dangos just gave the dead cap number. You know, Jared Goff makes $40 million this year, and two in 2 years. You know, it's all it's all mustard gas. It's all, you know, figments of
what does Matthew McConaughey say in Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah,
foo,
yeah,
foo, flipa.
Yeah. It's a fugazi. It's a, you know, I mean, that's what it is. So that's just a reminder. You know, I let's preface this by saying during this offseason, when your team makes a big free agent signing, let's just pump the brakes on salary cap, final figures, average salary. It's just all, it's a bunch of nonsense because they don't mean anything. All these contracts essentially are year-to-year basis. Teams are going to do what's best for their clubs. Apparently the Texans think that this is best for their club.
Yeah.
I can tell you on paper, doesn't make a lot of sense, but...
No, yeah, and a doctorate will have to explain to me the intricacies of Taysom Hill's new deal. But Dangles did say that over $12 million in dead cap next year, that's the same amount of money that a Ryan Kelly or a Corey Linsley is making right now, or maybe even a Derrick Henry or a Dalvin Cook. That's nothing to sniff at. That money can get you a high quality player, and now they are paying it for Zach Cunningham not to be in the building. Let's move on to teams that matter, though. And surprisingly, even though we're sick of talking about these two teams that are playing on Thursday night, both of them have a strong chance of making the playoffs with a few wins at the end, and it starts on Thursday. It's time for the Thursday night lean. It's time to make our first bet of the show. Dangles, what do we have on Thursday night?
Well, the only team that's been talked about more over the last few days than the Detroit Lions is the Minnesota Vikings, who lost to the Detroit Lions last week for their first win of the season. Minnesota goes back home now to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are in town at 6-5 and that annoying one tie. Minnesota at 5-7. Pittsburgh 5-7 against the spread. Minnesota 6-6 against the spread. The line has held pretty steadily at 3 points in this game throughout the last at least the last 24 hours that I've been tracking it for the purposes of taking notes for this show. And the total in this game I'm looking at from our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook, 43.5 points.
I will go first because I am right now the worst gambler on Thursday Night Football on this show. I'm 5-7 on the year. I did win last week with my little Thursday night teaser, and I was tempted to do it again, but I didn't go there. Instead, I went back to player prop land. What pissed me off, however, is right now there are no props available on DraftKings for Alexander Mattison, the presuming starting running back for the Minnesota Vikings. There's rumor that Dalvin Cook might be available, but everyone knows it's going to be Alexander Mattison, and I really wanted to take the over in long rush attempt by Alexander Mattison, because Minnesota is the fifth best team at explosive runs, and Pittsburgh is the 30th worst defense in giving up explosive runs. Those are stats from our friends at Sharp Football Focus. But Alexander Mattison props are not out there. I wanted to take it. Instead, I went to the wide receivers. The Minnesota defense is 26th in the league at giving up explosive pass plays. Chase Claypool on the other end, he is a man that all he does is get the ball thrown deep. Granted, half the time it's out of bounds because it's coming from Big Ben, but his number right now on DraftKings is over 23.5 yards for his longest pass play of the day. He's hit that in 8 of 10 games for the Steelers this year, and he's hit it in each of his last 4. I'm taking Chase Claypool over 23.5 yards, long reception of the day. Shafe of the Sharp, let's go to you. You're 6-7 on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, so
hold on, Drew. Forgot to mention the stats here. You're 2-1 on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're 2-7 on the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so cool that I get a forced play here on a Vikings game. Really, really enjoy.
This week you have to have purple fever. But there was no world where you didn't get to have that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, man, it's like finishing your plate when you're a kid and you just hate what you're eating. But you know, these two teams have something in common. These two teams, the Lions, have not lost against, which is never great. It's never
a rarity.
It's never great. And, you know, the Vikings cost me money.
Jr. rookie card.
Yeah, the Vikings cost me money the last play of the game last week, and I was thrilled to lose that money because I was very, very happy for my Motor City Kitties getting that first win. So this shouldn't come as a surprise as you. I'm playing the Steelers here +3. I would advocate if you want to make real money on this, call your investment banker and go the other side immediately right now. I think you'd probably, you know, buy yourself a nice Christmas present by fading any type of Vikings bet I touch. So for the record, I will take Pittsburgh +3. Seriously, all this team does, you know, who knows? The Ravens look, something looks fundamentally wrong with the Ravens. I'm not taking too much stock in that win last week for the Steelers, but they do have the classic rah-rah spot. They want to sneak in the playoffs and get beat by 30 like they did last year. So be it. The Vikings, no Thielen, presumably, no Cook, presumably.
Yeah.
Zimmer's on his way out. Who knows what's going to go with Cousins? I can't help but think, man, Matthew Collier, who we had in the preseason, he had the season pegged for the Vikings. He really did. So shout out to him. I hate this Vikings team. They suck. So give me +3 with the Steelers and whoopty frickin' do. I'm really confident in it.
Dan Campbell about to be the second longest tenured coach in the NFC North. Dangles.
How about that?
Dangles, you are 7-5 on Thursday Night Football. You've been doing well in these Thursday night games. What do you have for this one?
Well, you know, again, I know the world's laughing at the Vikings. They gave up 20 unanswered points to the Lions on their way to that win on the last play on the pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown. But, you know, one thing the Vikings have done very well, or one position, I guess, and surprisingly enough, and I kind of hate to say this because I hate Kirk Cousins, but he's actually been pretty good this year. Statistically, he's thrown 25 touchdowns, 3 picks, which is the fewest among starting quarterbacks. His touchdown number's tied for 5th. He's completing over 68% of his passes, and he's thrown multiple touchdowns in 9 of 12 games this year. I'm going with him to do that again in this game, to throw over a 1.5 touchdown passes at -125. I do think this game is going to be close, just like 11 of their 12 games so far that have been decided by a possession or less. That does include an 8-point game. Still, I just don't see the Vikings in a situation where they're going to have a negative game script necessarily. Kirk's only attempted fewer than 30 passes once this season, so lots of chances for this. And I mean, you might say now, well, Dangles, Pittsburgh's got one of the best pass rushes in the NFL. Kirk's been blitzed the second most out of any quarterback in the league. And they sacked Lamar, who's blitzed more than anyone, the only person who's blitzed more than Kirk Cousins, 7 times last week. And Minnesota's line maybe is a little bit worse than the Ravens' line. So won't we see a repeat of last week then? And I don't think so. Kirk's a very good passer under pressure, considering he's been pressured on 27% of his dropbacks. They're going to blitz him. They're probably going to hit him, but he is a good passer in that situation. So I'm going with him to throw multiple touchdowns over 1.5 at minus 125.
Dangles. There you go, buddy. I like that bet. I hate betting on Kirk Cousins, but hey,
your
logic makes sense. Exactly. That's it for the Thursday night lean. It's time to move to the Sunday night lock involving my Green Bay Packers. And let me tell you, my bet for this game is going to surprise you. And that is coming up next.
West Coast Gamblers.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
All right, boys, you've either won or lost money betting on Sunday football, but there's that one game left to save you. Usually it's a juicy game, but this one is a rather large deficit on the point spread. Dangles, what do we have for our Sunday night lock?
It's the oldest rivalry in football. It's Chicago versus Green Bay at Old Lambeau. The ghosts of Lombardi and George Halas are going to be infecting the sidelines and the aura surrounding the stadium before this game as the Bears come to town to take on the Packers. The Bears come in at 4-8. Packers leading the NFC North at 9-3. Bears are 4-8 against the spread. Packers 10-2. Against the spread this year, but this is a big one to cover. 12.5 points is a large number. Total here is 43.5 points. Tony, I feel like we got to start with you here. How this is your team. What are we looking at against the Bears team? Now, Justin Fields is confirmed to be starting this weekend, at least according to Matt Nagy, as of Wednesday. So we won't be seeing Andy Dalton. And this line hasn't moved an inch since that news broke, which tells you what Vegas thinks and tells you what sharps think about this Bears offense. But I'm curious to know what you think, Tony Squares.
Well, it's obvious that the bookmakers are sick of losing money to the Packers with this spread. 12.5 is a large number for this team. Chicago does have a really good defense, even after all the turmoil that they've had. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers came out last time and said, "I own you. I've always owned you," when he scored the rushing touchdown there. I think Chicago remembers that, and I think they're going to come out with a lot on their mind to tell Aaron. The offense, on the other hand, for Chicago, I don't think they're going to be able to score at all. My defense is playing really well. But Fields, in the second half of that first game against us, he escaped the pocket really well and found ways to make plays after everything broke down. And I think, I mean, I don't think anything, because Matt Nagy's an idiot, but I think that should be in the game plan, is to get Justin Fields to move his feet, especially if he's fully healthy. I am 5-7 on Sunday Night Football, and even though the Packers are my team, only 4-4 when taking games involving the Packers, 2-3 when taking games involving the Bears, hoping to hit a win on this one. I really like this Packers team. I think they're world beaters. In this game, I know they're coming off a bye, but that spread's too big for me to take it. I don't trust Chicago. I don't trust that under either, even though I probably should be taking it. Instead, I'm going to look to the Packers team total. That number is 27.5 right now, and I know they scored 30 points both the last times they've played, but they've only hit that over in 4 of 12 games on the season. Again, Chicago is going to pull out all the stops to try and make this Packers offense sputter, and I think they do just enough to do so. Montgomery's back. They're going to be able to ball control more, hold the ball on offense. I just think the Packers, both teams are going to bleed the clock out. I don't think the Packers do enough to score. I think Aaron makes some mistakes here. I also think they come out like they did in week one against New Orleans and think this is like, we're getting back into the groove. Things are going to be slow to start. Packers team total under 27.5 is the bet from a Packers owner. Dangles, Sunday Night Lock, what do you got?
Tony, I hope your handicap of that game is exactly what plays out. My Sunday Night Lock is the Packers first quarter under 0.5 touchdowns, so zero touchdowns at plus 115. Laugh if you want, but hear me out here, Tony. The Packers have failed to score a first quarter touchdown in 8 of their 12 games this year, and in 7 of 12 games, they've been shut out completely in the first quarter. Let's compare that to a team that we might think is comparable in terms of like record. The Cardinals were just ahead of the currently 2-seed Packers in the playoff standings, right? They failed to score a first quarter touchdown only twice. Or the Buccaneers, just below the Packers in the playoff 3 spot right now, who failed to score a first quarter touchdown in just 4 of their 12 games. I agree with you about Chicago remembering what Aaron Rodgers said and wanting to come out and play with fury. I think Khalil Mack is probably going to be eyeing up Aaron Rodgers and squaring him up a few times. Packers ranked 23rd
in first. Khalil Mack is dead. Yeah.
From the bench.
Is he dead? Oh, is he on the bench?
He's passed away.
He's R.I.P.
We'll forget about that. Either way, I still think they're going to have a point to prove and an axe to grind. Packers are 23rd in first quarter points per game, 2.8, despite being 5th in first quarter time of possession. So I just think this is a slow starting game. I think they will come back and ultimately win this. I can't get to the Packers at 12.5 points, so I'm going with the first quarter under 0.5 touchdowns, so no touchdowns for the Packers in one quarter or first quarter plus 115.
Dangles, you are 4-8 on Sunday Night Locks, your worst record in all the bets we give out, but you're 5-0, undefeated in games that involve the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see if that happens, Dangles. And again, you're bringing the stats today. I love it. I love how prepared Dangles is today. Shea for the Sharp, what do you got, my friend? Before I begin, Shea for the Sharp's very good. I'm gonna play to his ego here. He's very good. 7-5 on Sunday Night Locks, 6-3 on games involving the Packers, 5-3 on games involving the Bears.
I'm confused. Both of you guys have kind of said, like, oh, the Bears are going to remember. The Bears are going to remember what Rodgers said to him, and they're going to come out, pull out the stops. Well, like, you know, could Muggsy Bogues beat up Shaq? Like, I don't understand. What are you guys talking about? Like, oh, yeah. Like, real, the Bears are going to really come out firing. I mean, this team sucks. They're decrepit. They don't have a coach.
You're not wrong.
But, like, seriously, what are they going to do? Like, you don't think Aaron Rodgers, like, who loves to own the Bears, who traditionally has just torched this rivalry, and coming off a bye, again, just we've seen with the Bucs coming off their bye, like, and the Patriots coming in their bye this week. This is when football starts, post-Thanksgiving. Yep. This is kind of when these championship contenders get into rhythm, like, all right, let's strap it in, boys. We're playing for January, and I think this is Rodgers really, Tony calls it the last dance, but I see the Packers rolling here. I like 12.5, but just for the sake of just spiting the square here, because I'm going to try to catch up at them, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers team total over 27.5.
Okay.
The Packers have got to this. The Packers have got this number the last two games before the bye. The Bears have given up over this number for the last 6 games, and I really do think Green Bay will be completely motivated. They might get Bacardi back. The Bears, I mean, literally have nothing. They have nothing going for them. I think they're making golf reservations, so I don't see this as a competitive game. I'll probably have something on the 12.5. But give me the Packers team total 27.5. If they want to, they can get this in the first half. Only in the second quarter, Dang, so they won't score in the first quarter, like you said.
I appreciate that. Look, it happens more often than not with the Packers. I'm going, this is a game of numbers here.
I typically understand, like, division rivalry, but, like, this is just not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight. And the Bears have
the
no
Packers
fight,
win,
unlike my
no
Lions.
Doubt.
I'm not going to lie. I really like that. I'm so far ahead of the Sharp that now he's going to go mano-a-mano with me for the rest of the way. I like having the Sharp. Listen, nobody puts baby in a corner. He comes out fighting. I like it, but that's it.
Wait, so are you guys on opposite sides of this team total? Do we need to do some sort of... Okay, so I think we need to put something up on this then. Do we not?
Let's see what the rest of the show brings
out. Now you two are on this on the hook for it, and suddenly it's not interesting anymore. Okay,
let's see
I get
what
it.
The
I
rest of
it.
The show brings out.
It's
got
just
a feeling
funny to make Dangles
more.
Take his shirt off so you can call him a bowl
anytime.
Of mayonnaise with a beard.
I think this
anytime, anywhere, Dangs. Whatever he wants to play, I'll bet him his life.
I think there's more bets to be had coming up in King of the Coast, and we'll see where the Sharp and the Square land after that. Maybe we'll add a little bit extra at the end, but the King of the Coast is coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers. Gamblers.
Time for King of the Coast. This is the part of the show where each of the hosts here gives out five bets, three sides, a total, and a teaser that you can take on the weekend for week 14 and make some money. We confidence rank these bets. We've been keeping track of this all year long. The first side we give out is 1 point. Second side is 2 points. The last side is our backup, the Brinks Truck Special, a full 3 points. The teaser and the total, 2 points apiece. 10 points you can get every week, and I say that because yours truly got all 10 of those points last week. I went 5-0, improved my record to 62 points on the year, and I am calling down to the two fools below because they both have 51 points. That's right. I have a full week lead. I could take the week off, and I'm still going to be in first place. Drew and Dangles both have 51 points. Dangles has a slightly better record on the year, 27-32-1, so he's technically in second place right now. So we're going to start with Shay for the Sharp this week. We're starting with the man who has all the analytics, who has the professional gambling experience, who takes part in the Circa contest and everything else. He's losing the King of the Coast right now, and he's not happy about it. And because he's going to try and go against me with every bet, I'm making him go first right now. Drew, your 1 point side for the week. What do you got?
Tony, tip of the cap. Tip of the cap. Well done last week, sir. That's very impressive. So I will say I lost two games on the last play of the game last week, and that's kind of how the last 6 weeks have been going. But we're going to do some accounting at the end of the year because as it stands right now, some of these future bets could be potentially plus 40 units for Shay for the Sharp. 40 units.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see. We got a long way to go. So my 1 point side, I like the card this week, guys. And, you know, I was breaking this game down. I'm going to make it kind of simple here. I'm really going to try to play on teams, that are going in opposite directions. And I'm going to play the Washington football team at plus 4.5 against the Cowboys. I double checked this and I said it last week and I'm correct. The Washington football team controls their own destiny. They literally got through that horrible start, and they control their own destiny for the NFC East. And you know, the Cowboys, if not for that god awful performance by Taysom Hill, would have had a difficult time beating the Saints last Thursday. Now I know they get some extra rest, and I know the football team came off a very, very tightly contested battle against the Las Vegas Raiders and won. But I'm really starting to buy this Heinicke guy short term for him. Did you see him on the sidelines? He's really fired up. He's engaged.
Yeah.
Really gives a fuck.
Yeah. It's his and team. He feels like it's his team, you know?
Well, it's funny. I read afterwards, and this is true of a lot of players' contracts, but he is incentivized financially for every game they win. So I think he's putting $100,000 in his pocket per win. But again, two teams going opposite directions. We said this kind of in our preseason show. If the football team gets an opportunity to win that division, we'd be interested. They have everything in front of them. So I just think the line's about 1.5 off. I make this line Dallas plus 3. I get an extra point and a half.
It was down there. Washington football team. Today, earlier this morning, it dropped to about 3.5. So it's the money's coming in a little bit on football team.
I got it. Let me double check. I have it at 4.5.
It is. But earlier it dipped to 3.5. It has been at 3.5 is what I'm saying. Not that it is 3.5.
Thanks for the help, Dangles. Shay for the Sharp, you're 5-15 when taking the home team. You're 3-4. You're 3-4 on football team games and 1-6 on the Dallas Cowboy game. So far, so good for Shay for the Sharp. Dangles, what do you got for your 1 point side?
Well, I'm going to a matchup, and it's kind of a big number, but I mean, guys, you know, we talked about this team earlier. The Houston Texans are just shambles right now. This whole organization is shambles. They talk about a team making golf reservations. I've got the Seahawks at -7.5 at the Texans. This is much more of a fade of Houston than it is a vote of confidence in the Seahawks, who I still think stink, and I would fade in just about every other matchup. Davis Mills comes back after Tyrod got hurt last week. Mills started 6 games in Tyrod Taylor's absence, lost them all, average margin of defeat 21.3 points, 7 touchdowns, 8 picks. I will give him this. 5 of those 6 games he started were against teams with a record better than 500 right now, so this might very well be the least talented defensive unit that he's faced thus far. Could it give him some room to breathe and work? Theoretically, yes, but I'm not banking on that happening based on what I know about Davis Mills and what I've seen of him. And the Texans stink even with Tyrod Taylor. They lost a bunch of games with him. He did account for a couple touchdowns rushing in that Titans win, but otherwise they lost to like the Jets, where Zach Wilson threw for 145 yards, and then they got shut out by Indy the week after that. This is an issue far beyond the quarterback position. I don't think they show up for this game. Their season is over. Seahawks have a 7.5-point lead, no problem. I think they close with that.
Yeah, the Texans... The Texans. My 1 point side, I am 18-11 taking away teams. I'm 10-4 taking underdogs, and I'm 5-0 taking the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I'm doing it this week. I hate this team. I hate the coach. I hate the number. It's 8.5, but it's against the Tennessee Titans. Losers of their last two games. Nobody is on that team. They have so many people on injured reserve. They are a competitive team. They're 8-4 right now. They're the 2 seed in the entire AFC. I don't think they're going to lose this game, but I think Jacksonville, especially with Trevor Lawrence getting behind James Robinson, telling the coaching staff that we need James Robinson to play, I think the players in that locker room respect that and will side, obviously, with Trevor Lawrence and the players around him and will come out with a little bit more fervor in this game. I just don't think Tennessee should be favored by more than a touchdown against anybody, even this awful Jacksonville unit. I'm taking Jacksonville plus 8.5. It's a plug-my-nose bet. 1 point side, I can risk that 1 point, considering, again, I have an 11-point lead on the other two. Jacksonville plus 8.5. Let's move on to the teaser. Schaefer the Sharp, we're going to go to you. And the teaser is you get 6 to 7 points to add to your total. I just took Jacksonville plus 8.5. You put them in a teaser, that's up to plus 14.5. The trick is you got to get two of these correct to win your teaser. Schaefer the Sharp, your two-leg teaser.
Okay, so I am going to play the Cincinnati Bengals at home up to 7.5. And I'm going to pair that with, once again, the Dirty Birds, the Atlanta Falcons, at plus 8.5. Now, obviously, the Panthers fired Joe Brady.
Yep.
And, you know, what a clever move. The Panthers break that news at 1 o'clock on a Sunday during their bye week. Very, very interesting there. But, hey, it worked because I think it was swept under the rug. But, you know, I read somewhere on Twitter, like, oh, this interim OC has a great relationship with Matt Rhule, and this offense is going to take off. And my initial response is, do they get a new quarterback? Do we not watch Cam Newton play? I'm so confused. I don't like the Panthers at all.
No, you
do sharp money has come in. The sharp money has come in on the Panthers this week. I'm not really sure why, but I feel comfortable enough with that just decrepit quarterback Cam Newton. The Falcons stay within a possession here. So give me the Bengals plus 7.5 and the Falcons plus 8.5.
Drew, you got winning records with both the Falcons and Carolina. 4-2 Falcons games, 5-2 Carolina games. I think I have you there. And the Cincinnati game, too, against San Fran, I was a little bit amazed at that line. I'll get to that game a little bit later. But, Dangles, let's go to you. You've won 6 of your last 7 teasers. Keep the train rolling.
Chew, motherfucking chew. Let's go to the Denver Broncos. I'm teasing them down to 2.5 points. From 8.5 against the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Against the Detroit Lions. And then I've got the Bengals at plus 7.5 against the 49ers as well. I'm lining up with the Sharp there. I won't be surprised if it turns out that this Broncos Lions game doesn't need to be teased at all, but I'm doing it from to protect from the patented Lions backdooring. We know they're capable of doing that, and especially coming off of an emotional win last week. I think they're gonna come into this game looking at it. I don't think they will win the game, but I think the Lions are going to go into this with the confidence to believe that they can, even though they ultimately will not. I like the Broncos to win here. I just want to give them a little more leeway to do that. So I've got them down to 2.5 from 8.5. And then I've liked the Bengals all year long, even though that they have been streaky. And I think they are sour about the way they lost to the Chargers, and they'll bounce back. Plus, they take on a vulnerable favorite here in the 49ers team. The Bengals are at home as well. They're home dogs, respectable at that. I like this teaser leg, and again, the Bengals could very well easily win outright. So again, I got the Broncos minus 2.5 and the Bengals plus 7.5.
Love it, Dangles. I do love it. And I actually love the first bet you made on Seattle. In fact, that's the first leg of my teaser. I'm taking it in a 7-point teaser, though, putting Seattle down to -1 against Houston. I mean, they're going to beat the Houston Texans. I don't know if they cover that spread because Seattle has been up and down as anybody, but they're going to beat the Houston Texans and Davis Mills. And then the second game, I'm interested to see if you guys have this game later on down the line. But the Buffalo Bills were flat out embarrassed against those New England Patriots. You got Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer fighting with reporters. You got Sean McDermott saying, don't give too much credit to Bill Belichick because he's a fucking idiot. But I don't want to play this Buffalo team when their backs are against the wall. This whole entire list that I have, all these bets that I'm taking, have a lot to do with what is the personality coming in on Sunday. And I think Buffalo is going to come out raring to play. Tampa Bay has been beating everybody, but they're not the Tampa Bay of last year. Buffalo is obviously not the Buffalo of last year, but if I put them in a teaser, get them up to +10, I think that's a gimme. I'm sorry, it's a 6.5-point teaser I'm doing. Buffalo +10 against Tampa Bay. I think they keep it close. I also think they're live to win this game, and then Seattle down to -1. That is my two-leg teaser for the week. But let's move on to the two-point side. It's time to go back to the side. Shay for the sharp. Once again, we are starting with you, my friend.
Well, Tony, you kind of implied going back to the Cincy-San Francisco game, and I guess since if I'm going to be on the same side as the square that bets the Jags at 8.5 when he could have got it at 11, that's leading the King of the Coast, I'm in good shape. So I like the Bengals at +1.5. I agree. That line doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think it's, to borrow a phrase from Diamond Dave Esler, it's a WTF game, wrong team favored. I mean, San Francisco 6-6, and, you know, I don't think we saw just a complete collapse last week against the Seahawks, which I do not hold the Seahawks in high regard. I think loss of Deebo Samuel really plays dividends in this team.
Yeah, it really
does. You look at San Francisco's last three road opponents, right? The Jaguars, the Seahawks, and the Bears. This Bengals team fighting for a playoff spot after coming off a really tough loss where they were down 24-0 when Tony was, you know, sending us memes, go Chargers, go. And guess what? The Bengals scored 22 unanswered points on their way to potentially leading, if not covering themselves. Squares has been running hot. He gets a little lucky, covers, good for him. But I do think with the Bengals playing the 49ers, I just really think this team very equally matched. We're getting 1.5 at home.
Yeah.
Give me the Bengals. Who day? Big Hairy Mary Scary Man.
Hey, that actually works for the Big Hairy Mary Scary Man guy. Works for the holiday
big hairy
season.
Mary, big Hairy Mary Man's guy. And also, go Bengals in the Winners League when I am tied for the lead.
Yeah.
That needs nothing to do with this election, but I do like the Bengals +1.5, 2 points.
The Chargers have been my luck box this year. It wasn't too long ago where Austin Ekeler was dragged into the end zone to cover a game against Cleveland, much to the shape of the Sharps' demise. Dangles, what do you got for your 2-point side, my friend?
Well, this division has been more of a Pandora's box, depending on who you're betting on, and it can be kind of dicey at times. But I like this matchup. I like this line. I'm taking the Ravens to cover against the Browns on the road at +2.5. It doesn't sound like you guys like that. Of course, we've got Chubb and Hunt healthy for this game. Well, they were for the last game. The Ravens limited the duo to 36 yards on 15 carries. Oh, and the Browns picked off Lamar 4 times in that game. They still couldn't win. So this defense has shown that it can stop the Browns' run game. And if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know that anytime we get a chance to talk about stuff percentage, we are going to do it. And the Baltimore Ravens are the very best in the NFL in stuff percentage. 28% of run plays, they tackle at or behind the line of scrimmage. We know Cleveland is going to need to pace this game with their run game because they don't have a pass game right now. Baker is a shell of who he was. They are injury-ridden at the wide receiver position. Baker's got that shoulder injury going on. I think the Ravens are live to win this game. I think Lamar rebounds here. I know people are down on them right now, but they are still the division. I think the best team in that division right now on paper, and I like them to win this Sunday.
Dangles definitely going against the public there. I like it. And as you said, that 28% stuff percentage, like Sex Panther, 28% of the time it works every time.
Squares.
Yeah, what do you got?
Quick, who is in charge of the scheduling for the NFL?
I know.
I could be available. So let me get this straight.
I could be available.
So the Browns play the Ravens. They get a bye, and then their next team is the Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yep. And the Washington football team play one division game the first 13 weeks of the season, and then play their last five games against division opponents.
Yep.
Not really anything to say, just food for thought. Very, very strange scheduling, but that's all I got.
I've been, backing, patrioting the chance to change the schedule for years now. I really want in that week 7-9 slate, I want to have back-to-backs. I really do. Take that week 7-8 and everyone in the NFL plays a back-to-back with a division rival back and forth. I think that would be awesome storytelling for the middle of the week, October. Anyway.
Interesting.
Past that.
I don't hate that, Squares.
I don't disagree.
Shay for the Shark. You bet on the Washington football team plus 4.5 with your 1 point side. I will see that bet and raise you. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys minus 4.5 as my 2 point side. Listen, this Washington football team's getting hot. Taylor Heineke's playing great. They've won 5 straight. Antonio Gibson's running the ball. Yes, they lost Logan Thomas, but that passing game is better. Dallas has finally gotten healthy on all ends of the field, except for Zeke, but they got Tony Pollard. It's pretty much the same thing. I love this Dallas team. I think a lot of points are scored in this game. Washington football team gives up a lot of points on defense, and the Dallas team is third most points scored in the entire NFL. I think Dak, CeeDee, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, everybody's going to score in this game. And I think Washington football has beaten some teams, but I don't think they're going to face the likes of Dallas. I think Dallas knows they win this game. They control the division. They know the football team control their own destiny. I think Mojo Mike and co. get it done. Dallas minus 4.5 is my 2 point side. And may I remind you, give me a second because I lost my place. May I remind you, I am 10-1. When taking games involving the Dallas Cowboys and 5-1 when taking games involving the Washington football team. Put that together, that's a 15-2 record that's saying Dallas minus 4.5. Let's move forward. Squares bet of the day. It's time to take the total, and I am still undecided on what I'm going to do here, so I'm going to kick it over to Shay for the Sharp first.
Well, I'm going to go to the Tampa Bay-Buffalo game that you implied, Tony, earlier. Sorry, that's not the right word. That you talked about earlier, implying that Buffalo would be tough to play this week. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but I do think this game script is going to call for a lot of points. Mm. And Tampa is passing at the highest rate of any team in the NFL.
Yep.
And they're also playing at the second fastest pace. Now, Buffalo entered last week's game throwing at the third highest rate of the NFL. Obviously, we don't need to rehash what happened on Monday night. We can kind of throw that game away. But I do like Tampa in this game. I'll maybe talk about it a little later. I do think, you know, Tre'Davious White, their best cornerback, obviously is out for the year. No one would know that by Monday night when Mac Jones threw 3 times. So I think that's not being baked in this line. I know it's a high number, 53.5.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the over because I do think their Tommy Brady MVP campaign officially started.
Yep.
And I do think the Bills can score on that overrated Bucs secondary. So give them the over, 53.5.
Yeah, Tampa Bay has been stopping people from running the ball on them all season long. Buffalo doesn't want to run the ball. They want to pass the ball. So I think you're right on with the number there. Dangles, let's go to you, my friend. What is your total of the week?
Well, fellas, help me understand something here. So things aren't going right on your team, and you're like, all right, we need to make some changes. So you decide you're going to fire your offensive coordinator.
Mm.
And you do it on a Monday. The news breaks on a Monday. The Monday after your bye week is already gone. So the players now have less time to get acquainted with the new offensive coaching staff, with the new way they're going to run the offense. I assume they're not going to be running the offense the same way they used to. Otherwise, Joe Brady would still have a job in Charlotte, and he doesn't. So no. They're clearly going to try to make some changes on that offense. I'm very confused at how this is going to why that happened, and I think this is going to play out on the field. We're going to see even more just the same continued struggles that we have from the Panthers, and the Falcons can't score either. They're awful on offense. They can't generate anything. The only person that is working for them on offense is Cordarrelle Patterson with flashes of Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
I love the under in this game. It's the epitome of a pick 'em. The spread is 2.5 to the Panthers, which means the book thinks this is a coin toss on a neutral field. You got Carolina's 30th ranked offense against Atlanta's 31st ranked defense. Carolina's defense, the only good thing it has going for it, and they get to play an Atlanta offense that's struggling mightily, 1-3 since that last second Saints win. They've scored just 41 points over that 4-game span. Oh. I've got the Falcons Panthers under 42.5.
Dangles, I love that. The only thing that scares me is I do believe that Carolina team is going to pick Matt Ryan off a lot, and the chances are they're going to give Cam Newton a short field to work with. But I'm right there with you on the under. I don't see Atlanta plus 8.5 in Drew's teaser. I really like Carolina in that game, but that's not my bet, and that's not my total. Instead, I'm doing a Schaefer the Sharp special. I'm giving you an extra bet because I cannot decide between the two. The first one I'm going to give out doesn't count towards my King of the Coast, but I can't stop taking it because last week I gave out Miami -4.5 with a grand scheme. A lot of stats were given out, and it all summed up to Mike Glennon. That's the reason I gave Miami, and it worked. This week, the New York Giants team total is 16.5, and the one name I'm going to give you is Jake Fromm. That is the new starting quarterback of the New York Giants and the next starting quarterback to be added to the West Coast Gamblers QB rankings, which is as long as it's ever going to be at the end of the Super Bowl. And Jake Fromm truly has a chance to be the last quarterback on that list. Their number right now, 16.5, really leaning Giants under in that game against the Chargers. Not taking it, though. Moving forward to Schaefer the Sharps Lions. Listen, the Lions have a bottom four offense in the NFL. They also have a really bad defense, but Denver, who has a top three defense, has a bottom 10 offense. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. I don't think Detroit's going to be able to get to even double-digit points in this game, and Denver's just going to try and ball control, run the ball a lot, and get to a point. I think Detroit's very invigorated after winning their first game, but they kind of blew their load, and I don't think they compete here. The spread was too big for me to trust Denver. I do trust the under here. Detroit and Denver under 42, and I am 9-4 when taking unders on the year. I'm going to hit another one here. Detroit and Denver under 42. Let's move on to the Brinks truck bet. Schaefer the Sharp, you've been doing well with your Brinks truck bet. This is worth 3 points to the King of the Coast total, so that means you need to hit 4 straight Brinks truck bets to catch up to me and King of the Coast, but you're 7-6 on the year. What do you got for this one?
Good math tone. I am going to I'm going to take, and again, this is why the Sharp, it hasn't paid being a Sharp this year, because I got this line -3 on Monday, and of course right now it's 3.5. So I have to play 3.5 because I'm a man of the people and a man of this podcast. But my back of the Brinks truck bet will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers -3 plus the hook here. Couple here reasons. This is courtesy of our friend the Hitman spitting some good numbers on his Twitter. Since the bye last year, Tampa Bay, okay, since last year's bye, Tampa Bay at home, 7-1 ATS, 8-0 straight up, and the fewest amount of points they've scored at home is 26. What did I say last week? This team's completely different on the road as opposed to when they're at home. So obviously you get the Bills coming to Tampa. What did the Bills do last time they were in Florida? Now, I know you can't really, oh, they were in Jacksonville. They've laid an egg in Florida, and I think there's something weird going on in that locker room, Tony. You mentioned McDermott kind of being chippy with the media. Don't give Belichick too much credit. And the Poyer, the Poyer Hyde thing was kind of weird. I mean, I'm sure it's not fun to be asked about that after a loss, but I don't think that journalist, we can talk to, the five tool journalist down below in my Zoom screen there, a world-class working journalist. If that was an inappropriate question, I didn't really think it was. They kind of snapped. It was just weird. So yeah,
very weird.
I think there's something going on with that. Yeah, I think there's something going on with that locker room. I think the Bills have kind of like gave the division away. I think right now they're basically know that they're going to be on the road in that playoff game. So, they're going to make the playoffs. They'll get right. But I do like Tampa here at -3.5. Back up the Brinks truck. We're back on the right track, baby.
So, Dangles,
back on the right truck.
Dangles, before you go, that now makes the third bet of the day. This is why I waited. This is the third bet of the day that me and Schaefer the Sharp are on the opposite on. The first one is the Green Bay team total. I'm on the under 27.5. He's on the over 27.5. The second bet is Washington football team versus Dallas. He has the football team +4.5. I have Dallas -4.5. And in this one, he takes Tampa Bay -3.5 against Buffalo. I put Buffalo in a teaser, but for the sake of the show and for this game, I'm going to take Buffalo +3.5 as well in this contest. That means there's going to be three bets that we're against each other on. One of us is going to hit more than the other one in this. Dangles, we're playing now. What is the penalty for me and Drew in this contest of three?
Well, I mean, before we do that, can I maybe, consider myself to also be involved in this if I were to tell you what my Brinks truck bet of the week is, because I too have got action on this Bills Bucks tilt as my Brinks truck side, and I am with the sharp here.
Ooh.
At 3.5. I too saw this line is as recently as Tuesday at 3 points. The hook seemed to have been added overnight between Tuesday and Wednesday. But I've got the Bucks at 3.5 here. We talked about on our Thursday show, and you mentioned this, Drew, about, you know, Trey White being missing. Conditions didn't play out for passing on Monday against the Patriots, but I think that absence is going to be felt against this Tom Brady offense that's coming into or that they are going to visit this weekend. In addition, they're traveling on a short week down to Tampa. Yep. That doesn't play well for them. And you guys, do you want to guess what Tom Brady's record all time against the Buffalo Bills is? It's great. I love this. 32-3. The last time that he lost to the Bills, Barack Obama was still president, and we were worried about an Ebola outbreak in Africa. It was 2014. 2014, the last time that Tom Brady lost to the Buffalo Bills. I don't think that changes this week. And to your point about what I did see today, Micah Hyde did go back on the podium today and kind of apologize. Not really apologize, but kind of explain that that was caught up in the emotion and he really respects them. And they kind of felt disrespected by that question a little bit. And he didn't think the reporter was trying to do that, but it was just, so he kind of gave and it was a good long, not just like a shrugging it off and whatever, but like really talking about how he values his relationship with the Buffalo media. And I thought that was a really, you know, a big boy thing to do after kind of snapping at that reporter, just since you brought it up. But
real quick, Dangles, was that question out of line? I didn't really understand why he was. I don't think frustrated.
I don't think so. I think it was.
I don't think so either.
Is it the question I'd have asked? Not necessarily, but yeah. I don't think it was out of line. Again, guys, who have the Bills really played this year? Who have they played?
Nobody.
Their best
win
is against Kansas City while KC was skidding, and their only other win against a team with a current record of 500 or better was the football team in Week 3. Give me the Bucks. Give me Brady. Give me Bruce. 3.5.
All right, Dangles, since you wanted to include yourself in this contest, I'm still going to kick you out because you don't have the 3 bets that me and Drew have against each other, but thank you for participating with Tampa Bay minus 3.5. Drew, I think I figured it out. You just moved into a new house in Michigan. I am in the middle of moving into a new apartment out here in L.A. Therefore, the loser has to buy the winner something new for the apartment, whether it's like a new utensil set or you need some new sheets for your bed, or maybe not sheets. Those are a little expensive, but you get my idea here.
It's got to be like a, well, let's set a limit then. What is the dollar limit then? What is the unit limit on what you're going to spend? Like a Secret Santa thing, you know?
First of all, how about this? Two out of three obviously wins the bet.
Yep.
And then if one of us sweeps, I say, you know, we'll put a budget on it, small budget, of course.
And it increases depending on your win.
If you sweep, that budget is doubled.
I love it. We'll talk offline about the budget, but that's how you know we're in our mid-30s. We are converting a bet not to beer or alcohol or weed.
That is the most domestic wager I've ever heard.
Yeah. It is something.
I'm going to get that fucking salad bowl, you cocksucker.
I am going to win that salad spinner if it kills me.
Last bet of the day. I'm still here because I won all of my bets last week. I think I've talked about it enough. I am also on the Cincinnati Bengals team. I'm not going to talk too long about it because you guys all brought up great points. I don't understand why San Francisco is favored in this game. Cincinnati at home plus 1.5. The reason why I took the Chargers last week is because the Chargers had people to beat up Eli Apple. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen could not be covered by the Cincinnati cornerbacks, and that was proven true. Even with Justin Herbert getting sacked as much as he did, Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have those weapons. Brandon Ayuk is not a world beater. I believe Eli Apple can hold his own in that game against Brandon Ayuk, and I think Jimmy G is in for a tough stretch. Although George Kittle will be able to patrol the middle of the field, Cincinnati just has too much on offense for San Fran to keep up. Cincinnati plus 1.5 is my backup. The Brinks
Tony
Struck
Squares,
special.
I think we might have a West Coast Gamblers first. I think that's the first time you've ever said something positive or nice about Eli Apple.
Yeah, my friend. And I'm confused, by the way. I thought your Bills was the backup. Did you just Are you just going Oppo to spite me?
No, yes. I have the Bills in my yes. teaser.
That's exactly
I have
what
I have
he's doing. He has
in
it in his
teaser,
but
so
he's
just,
going Oppo on the side to spite
to make the game work, because I am a friendly, giving host. That's what
selfless,
I do for this
selfless
show.
Selfless man.
That is it for the West Coast Gamblers. For Tony Cavallo, for Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Shea for the Sharp, Drew Shea for Crookston. We are the West Coast
I'm getting
Gamblers,
those tongs,
a proud member
you
of the Evergreen
fucker.
Podcast Network and the only gambling show that
I
makes
just
you money.
Help.
And as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.